can sing, "I'm saved to the uttermost." Praise the Lord. That was a blessing to me. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter number 5. Perfect song to go along with the message. Honestly. Mark chapter number 5. We're going to read the text of Scripture, which is 20 verses, 1 through 20. We're not going to look at the whole text of Scripture, but we're going to just look at probably verses 13 down through verse number 20. And we're going to look at what Christ gave the mad maniac. What Christ gave this mad maniac. And relate it to what Christ gave us when we got saved to the uttermost. What did Christ give you when you got saved? And this is again continuing our series on the miracles of Jesus Christ. To my surprise, this is the 18th miracle we've studied already. And we bounced in and out for a little while and kind of been in this. And so we're about running out of miracles. We've got probably 10 more or so. And so we'll see how much longer the Lord would lead us in this direction. But they've been good to me. And this one's special to me this morning. What Christ gave the mad maniac, but we'll begin with the scripture reading in Mark 5 and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Yeah, that's the guy we want to be our next door neighbor, right? Let's see who's around us, and we're going to move in and move next to this guy. You know, it's a safe guy for your children, you know? Yeah, if you move next to this guy, make sure you got about a half dozen Wattweilers, right? Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. What Christ gave the mad maniac. Notice in verse number 1, "And they came over unto the other side." I've underlined in my Bible, "the other side." This is the other side. This is when you go from a sinner to a saint. This is when you go from lost to saved. This is the good side, amen? If you've been born again, you're on the other side. You're on the good side of life, amen? It's no more sad reports, no more gloomy stories. You're on the other side. You've been born again. And we all were maniacs before Christ, but now we're his messengers. We were all wretches, but now we're saved. On the other side. I'm glad Jesus has taken me to the other side. I'm already, and you're already, seated with Christ in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm not waiting for heaven. I've already got heaven. I'm not wondering about it. I'm already a partaker of eternal life. I'm as much as there in Christ Jesus, and so are you. Already on the other side. What Christ gave the mad maniac. Now, this guy was a mess. I think the best way to describe him is he already was living in hell on earth. I mean, he was cutting himself. He was running around naked. He was living in tombs. And some people are like that. They want to live as close to hell as they can on earth. It's like they're living in the suburbs of hell. That's how this guy was. And you would think, I just want to say this, you would think there'd be no hope for this guy, right? No hope. I mean, go put him somewhere where nobody else is allowed to go. Chain him up, bar him up, and put a couple people around and make sure he don't get out into society, right? There's no hope for him. I mean, if you think there's some special place for these guys, right? Mm-hmm. But remember what Christ can do. I mean, amazing. I mean, I just can't. Human reasoning can't figure this out, what Christ did for this man and changed his life. The other side of grace. What grace provided for this madman? Now, I'm just going to be honest with y'all this morning. I sent this message to my mom this week. I screenshotted it and sent it to her. And she said, wow. She said, I don't think you're going to be able to get that all done in one Sunday morning, son. Well, I've got 12 points that start with R. That's why she said that. And I said, well, Mom, it'll probably just be a lot of bones but not meat. And she sent back a laughing emoji like, yeah, right. She's been in a preacher's home long enough. She knows how that works. If you got 12 points, good luck. So if I average 5 minutes on each point, it'll only be an hour-long sermon. No, we're going to find out what Christ gives to us when we get saved. Number one, you find it in verse 15. And rejoice in your salvation this morning. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed, yeah, with the devil and had the legion. I like those words, don't you? Past tense. Change, different. He had the legion. He had the devil, but no longer sitting. That's all you got to mark. Sitting is number one. He's sitting. The first thing Christ gives us is the same thing that he gave this madman. He gives us rest. He gives us rest. R-E-S-T. He gives us rest. He's sitting. No, he wasn't sitting down in verses 3-5, was he? No, he had no dwelling place but the tombs. No man could bind him. They couldn't keep him still. They were locking him up, chaining him up, and he, by the power of the evil one and those demons, he was breaking everything. He couldn't sit still. I mean, it's not even comparable to the worst ADHD kid you've got in your class. And who knows one of those? They're going crazy. No, this is nothing. This is on steroids compared to somebody like this. This man was dangerous. They couldn't keep him confined. He was breaking everything, cutting himself. And I had the devil working through him. But now he's just sitting there, just as peaceful as can be. And that's what Christ gives everyone that's been born again. He gives us peace. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what Christ gives us. Before, we were running around. We didn't know what to do, didn't know up from down. We were chasing our tail and chasing the wind of the world. But now, we're just peaceful in Jesus. I come what may. I know the Lord's in control. He's my creator and he's my shepherd. I can trust him. I don't really understand really what he's doing right now, but I think I'll just trust his promises. I'll trust his word. He doeth all things well. All things work together for good to them that love God and called according to his purpose. I think I'll just rest in my Savior. Aren't you glad that once you get saved, you get rest? Amen? He gave that to the mad maniac and he gives that to us. Number two, not only do I see rest, but in verse 15, he was sitting, and that speaks of reverence. He's sitting right there with Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus in the boat. Jesus told him, you can't stay with me in the boat. I've got a job for you. But this sitting speaks of him sitting at the feet of Jesus because that's referenced in Luke's account of this same miracle. It reminds us of Mary in Mary chapter number, in Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 38, how that she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and that one thing was a needful thing. You know what? When you get born again, there's one thing that you will do automatically. You will sit down and learn of Jesus. As newborn babes, come on, as newborn babes do what? Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. When a man gets born again, he's going to want the Word of God. He's going to desire that milk just like a baby will cry all night. Mamas, you know all about it. They cried all night for mama's milk, right? They'd wake you up every 3 hours to get that milk. And when somebody gets born again, they will desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. That's the only thing. And you know what that is? That is reverence. When we sit down before Him and learn of Him, that's worship before work. Yeah. We're going to bow before Him and learn of Him. Sitting at the feet of, this is what he did. He's got rest. You know, and in that rest, there is reverence. He's sitting right there at the feet of Jesus. Not only do I see we get rest and we get reverence, but you know what else we get? Verse 15. He was sitting, are you following me? And what else? Clothed. It's not God's will for any man to run around without clothes on. Sure. In a society that is undressing, Christians ought to dress and cover up their bodies. As the days get warmer, that doesn't mean our clothes change. We cover up our bodies. We don't take clothes off our bodies. When he got saved, he put clothes on. And when somebody gets born again, they put clothes on and don't take clothes off. Robes. He got robes. He got attire. He got something to cover up his body. Before he met Christ, he was running around naked. And there's no different whether you go down to the beach or whether you're at the church house. We put clothes on. We cover up our bodies. That's what a saved person does. And you'll know real quick, ladies. Now, men, if you got a problem with that, you got a real problem. Amen. But ladies, you'll know good and well when the Holy Ghost, if you're walking close enough to Him, when you look in front of that mirror, you'll know real quick, I think I got to put some more on. Pastor Sexton used to say there's sexual zones of a body, and you better be sure you're getting those completely covered up. If you have to pull it down all the time or pull it up all the time, just put something else on. Can I get an amen? Yeah, sure. I'm trying to help somebody. Clothes. When we get saved, we get robes. We get a new idea of what it means to be modest. Before, mamas were probably saying, whoa, he's naked. Let's not look over that way. Look away. Yeah. Don't we have to do that sometimes? In public? Don't look that direction. Oh, no. Don't look that direction. Somebody's half naked. That's how this guy was. He was running around naked, and if a mom was around, oh, don't look over here. The maniac's running around naked. But when he got saved, what'd he have on him? Clothes. Just let the Bible do the talking. It's right there. Robes. You know what else he got? He got reason. When he got saved, The maniac got reason. Say, where do you see that, preacher? Verse 15, still in verse 15. He got clothed and in his right mind. You know what? I'll just put them together. If you're in your right mind, the mind of Christ, you'll put clothes on. The reason is more than just clothes, obviously. It's just the right mind about things. It's the mind of Christ from the Word of God that we have today. He was in his right mind. Anybody in his right mind is not going to go around cutting himself and mutilating his body, right? This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't mutilate your body. You don't tattoo up your body. This right here, this is flesh. It deserves to be crucified, but it also, once we got saved, is the temple of the God that saved our souls, and he lives inside of me. I'm not going to burn it. I'm not going to tattoo it because God lives inside this body. Right mind. Think about it. Just think about who lives inside of here. Just think about who you belong to. Just think about his word. When you're saved, you'll get good reason. Somebody said common sense is no longer common. It's not common. It's strange. And Christians ought to have a right mind. 1 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me just throw this one in here. You'll get a sound mind from sound doctrine. You really won't know the fullness of how to think things through until you get theology. It's theology, then thinking. It's sound doctrine, then sound mind. You got to have something to work off of. But Christ will start it with you. Don't worry about it. You'll get born again. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. He'll let you sit. He'll put your clothes on for you. He'll get you a good start. And then you've got to grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth. And he will give you good reason. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He'll give you a reason. You know what else he gave them? Restraint. Look at verse 15. He gave them those clothes. He's sitting. In his right mind, and they were afraid. He gave them restraint. Say, where do you see that, preacher? I see that compared to verse 4. Because they had often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. They just weren't broke, but they were broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame them. What Christ gave him is what Christ gives us when we get saved. He gives us restraint. When you get saved, you're still going to have a will. You're going to have an opportunity to choose between two things. Right? Last time I checked, I still got to make a choice whether to do the right thing or the wrong thing. Amen? That man still had a choice. He still had a volition. Christ doesn't save us so we don't sin anymore. But Christ saves us so we don't have a desire to sin anymore. And when we sin, we feel awful about it when we do sin. And if we continue to live in sin, he'll chasten us and take us to the woodshed when we do sin if we're saved. What is one of the fruits of the Spirit that is related to restraint? Temperance. Temperance is Christ's control in my life. It's making the right decision. Up on this shoulder, there's a cigarette. And up on this shoulder is the Bible. Which one will we choose? You might still have the pull for one. But if you choose the Bible over the cigarette, Christ will give you power over the cigarette. I'm trying to help you. Up on this shoulder is jealousy and envy and strife and unforgiveness. Upon this shoulder is prayer. When those thoughts come up, I'm going to get them if it's the last thing I'm going to do. I'm all right. Jealous of people, envious of people, trying to get back at people. Or, dear Lord, help me to love my enemies and do good to them that persecute me. Help me to pray for these people. Bless this person. Bless them. Bless her. See there? Those things, I don't know about anybody else, but since I've been saved, I still got a problem with these things over here. But I've got to make a choice to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. This man still had problems, I'm 100% certain, with the things that he had before in his life, but he chose Christ and he made a great impact in his city called Decapolis. Restraint. What else do we get when we get saved in looking at this mad maniac? Number six, we get release. Oh, I like this one. Verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. That's those devils. And the unclean spirits went out. Leave went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked of the sea. What Christ gave this man was release of the demons. Release of his sin. And that choking that's in verse 13 pictures them being choked in the sea, pictures the sea of God's forgiveness. It pictures the sea of God's forgetfulness. All those demons went into those pigs, and those pigs were choked in the sea. And let me tell you about our sins. They are gone, 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 forever gone in the sea of God's forgetfulness. They're cast as far as the east is from, the east is from the west. They're gone. They're not to be remembered. The release. They're choked. They ran. It says those pigs ran violently down the steep place. That's what happened when you got saved, is all your sins ran down and they're gone in the sea of God's forgetfulness. I tell you what, friend, cut loose from your yesterday because Christ has already cut it loose. Cut loose from your yesterday. Stop living in the past because Christ don't got you there. You've got yourself there. Cut loose from your yesterday. All your sins are gone. Boy, it's good to be saved to the uttermost. Cut loose from it. The release. And when I think of the release, I've just got to add one more thing. When I think of the release, I think of the righteousness. Number seven. He became as I am, so that I might become as he is. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Think of that man that was as nasty could be, as vile could be, and now he's sitting there clothed and in his right mind and in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Look at who you are in Jesus Christ, made new in Christ, righteousness. And such were some of you, but you're washed, sanctified in the blood of Jesus Christ. Righteousness. But number eight, there's a revelation. He gave them a revelation. He gave them a revelation. He was telling that man something. When those pigs went down into that sea, into that lake, as it's referred to in Luke chapter number 9, I think, when they went down there, he gave that man a revelation. He gave that man a picture of what had happened to his old life. You know what? You're going to get a picture when you get in this book of what God's done for you and your old life is gone. The revelation's right here. The revelation. Now, you might not think of this one right off the bat, but to be honest, with the scripture, we've got to bring it up. Number nine, what Christ gave the mad maniac is rivals. Rivals. Look at verse 17. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. That's a reference to Jesus and to the maniac of Gadara. They didn't want him nor the maniac around anymore, right? He, as soon as he got born again and his life was changed, they didn't want him around any longer. And when you get saved, you're going to get a new set of enemies and a new set of friends. You're going to get a new set of enemies and a new set of friends. You're going to have rivals. There will, any time there is a desire for the truth, you're going to run head on with error and the enemies that associate with air. Why did they not want Christ in their community? Well, they didn't want Christ in their community because of fear. They were scared of Christ. They said, well, if Christ did that for him, I don't want him messing with my life. People inherently know that if they get around God and the Spirit of God, something will happen. There's one reason why people don't show up around the atmosphere of the Word of God and worship. They know good and well, if they get close enough, something might just happen. And I believe it will. Sure. They fear it. Why do people not want God in our country? Because they don't want the change that is associated with God. Why do people not want revival? Oh, we want revival, preacher. I don't know if you do want revival. Because revival spells change. Do we really want God? Do you want God to really revive America? If God revives America, boy, we'd flip this whole world upside down. We might be poorer than we've ever been. We might get persecuted. We might be having church underground and not in a place like this. Rivals came along when he got saved. Let me just tell you that are young in the faith, or all of y'all, the Christian life is not all honey and no bees. The Christian life is not all honey and no bees. It's not all, that tastes good. No, there's going to be some sting to it. You've got to bear the reproach of Jesus Christ and take up your cross and follow him. And that means some of your closest friends and the people that you admire most will ridicule you and say evil against you. Notice with me, when he got saved, he got a relationship. You know, that's the greatest thing. In verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with them. He got a relationship. He said, I just want to be with you, Lord. After all you've done for me, Lord, I just want to get up in this boat, and wherever that boat's going, I'm going with you. Let me be with you. If it's on the sea or if it's on land, let me go with you. I just want to be right next to you, Lord. That's my only desire. What is that? He got a relationship. And in that relationship, he wanted close fellowship. He has a request, which is the proof of salvation. Look up here at the preacher. He had a request, which is the proof of salvation. I just want to be with you. If you got saved, you want to be with Christ. You want to be with Christ. You want to be with Christ. You want to read the Bible. You want to pray. You want to be in church. If you get saved, that's exactly what you want to do more than anything else. And if you are saved and you don't want to do that, you're something seriously wrong with your Christian life, and you are carnal and away from God if you do not want to be with Jesus and around the things of God all the time. You're just not right. Something's wrong. Either you're saved, as Brother Adrian Rogers would say, and I completely agree, either you're saved or you're fixing to go to the woodshed. You're fixing to get a whipping from God if you do not desire to be in God's house. Sure, and with God's people. There's requests. I just want to be with them. I want to ask you a question. Do you want to be with them? Do you want to be near them? Do you want to read this Bible right here? Do you want to pray? Do you want to be with his people? Do you want to serve him out of worshipful heart? Well, he did, because he had a relationship. Those that we love, we want to be with. I mean, I personally, I'll cancel church tonight and I'll go to St. Augustine with April if y'all are good with it, if y'all pay my way. Because I like being with her. Or if you just want to stay at the house and take care of my kids, we'll just sit on the porch tonight. You know, I'm not canceling church tonight, but you know what I mean? We love to be with the people we love. Amen? You want to be with them. You do anything just to spend some time with them. Why? Because you love them. And if we love the Lord, we're going to want to be with him. He just wanted to be with them. But the Lord tells them no. The Lord tells them no. He said, no, you can't be with me. That's kind of shocking, isn't it? Guy's just gotten saved. But see, the Lord knew he had it. The Lord knew he had it. That's why I told him no. He knew he changed him. He told him, no, you can't be with me. Let me tell you something. When God tells you no, God's no's are always better. God's no's are always better. God might be telling you no about something. Let me tell you, when God tells you no, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because God's direction is perfect. God might be telling you a no right now, but it's not like when somebody else tells you no. When God tells you no, it's always good. Whatever God says is perfect. A no from God is very good. That's like a thumbs up. God is not bad at all. God has never been bad. God has never been evil. God is always good, and God is always right. So when he says no, that means good. You know best, but I don't know the future, but I'm going to trust you. A relationship. He told him no. He said, howbeit, verse 19, Jesus suffered him not and saith unto him, go home. The responsibility. What we got saved is we got responsibility. He said, go home. Stay with me just a little while longer. We're almost there. The responsibility. He got a responsibility to go home to his friends to tell them great things which God had done for him. And that's the responsibility that we all got when we got saved. Is anybody here this morning? That's all of our jobs, is to go home and tell our friends how good God's been to us. Isn't that so simple? He didn't say go home and tell them the Romans Road. It just doesn't go home and tell them the doctrine of God. It just go home and tell your friends how good God's been to you. That's the responsibility of every Christian after they've gotten saved. Go home. Jot these down under the responsibility. I see four things. I see a wish. He wished to be with Jesus. He just don't want to be with you, Lord. And a lot of people just, no good. I mean, good and fine. You just want to go to church. You just want to be around the things of God. That's fine. But this is not the end. If this is the end, we've missed it. This is not the end. This is the end. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? The end is not here. This is just the starting point. The church. He had a wish, but God had a will. He said, go home and tell your friends. That's my will. God's will is that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And we can be part of that will of God. What was the work of the man? The work of the man in his responsibility is go home and tell them, here it is, what great things God had done for thee. That's all I want you to do. That's your responsibility. Something sweet in this text of Scripture. It's not only the wish, the will, and the work, but the wonder. The Bible says when he did it in verse 20, the last phrase, and all men did marvel. They all marveled. Why'd they marvel? Man, I knew what this man was. I knew this, who this man. Man, I knew him. And he's changed. And all men did marvel. That's the responsibility that God's given each of us. My responsibility is not to make money. Your responsibility is not to make money. Your responsibility is not to make this world a better place from which people can go to hell. Our job is to get the gospel to every creature if you're a member of Bemis Road Baptist Church. We can do that through tithes and offerings and mission giving, and we can do that by taking gospel tracts with us and witnessing throughout the whole entire week, telling people about Jesus. But that is all our God-given responsibility after we've been born again. And we will stand before God one day and give an account for the responsibility he's given us to do. And it didn't sound like we were teaching a class. All he told them to do, he said, I just want you to go back home and tell them how great things I've done for you. Has God done any great things for you? Anybody? All right. Yeah. That's all we do. That's called testifying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One more. Not only the responsibility, but he gave this man a reach. A reach. Each and every person in this room tonight has a reach that God has given you since you've been saved. This man has a reach and you have a reach. I mean by that a sphere of influence. His was Decapolis. Notice with me in verse 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. His reach involved a starting place. The Bible says, and he began. He began. Some of us have just got to start. Let's just be honest. Just start. Some of us have just got to get 5 of these this week. Some of us have just got to start and go to one person this week and just begin. The Bible says, and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things God had done for him. This reach had a starting point, but this reach also had a speaking part. I hate to burst your bubble, but we're not going to obey the Lord by being quiet. We're not going to obey the Lord by being silent. We are going to have to preach the gospel, and that means we have to open our mouth and tell somebody about Jesus. Every one of you that are saved have the Holy Ghost inside of you, and God empowers you, each of you, with a speaking part. That means you have an anointing and an unction from God to speak to somebody else about how God has done great things for you. You've got a speaking part. There's a starting point, begin, and there's a speaking part. See, I don't want the speaking part in the play. You know what I'm talking about? Just let me be one of the background guys. Well, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble. But God's got every one of his children to have a speaking part. All of us are to be witnesses. Every creature needs a preacher. Say, Brother Justin, I've realized today that I've got a speaking part and I've got to start speaking for Jesus. Nobody's lifting up their hands too quick. See, yeah, that's right. I'm just trying. Yeah, we all got a speaking part. But you know what? There's not only a starting place and a speaking part, but there's a supreme point. What is the supreme point? Don't get nervous. You don't have to know everything about doctrine. You don't have to know all the dispensations. You don't have to be able to answer all the false doctrine questions. There's a supreme point. The Lord hath done great things for thee. The supreme point in witnessing is you just tell them about the Lord and how good he's been to you. You know, that makes people curious. That draws people in. When you're not telling everybody your horror stories, you're telling everybody about how good God's been to you. They might start listening to you. People had enough bad stories about preachers and churches and religion, but there's one person that's never done me anything but good, and his name is Jesus. I don't know, the church might have done you bad, Brother Curtis, but Jesus never has he? Amen. Has Jesus done any of y'all bad in here? Oh, no. He's been good to all of us. And that is the supreme point in you witnessing is the Lord hath done great things for me. When we got saved, we all got a reach, and it starts with a starting point. It starts with a speaking part and a supreme point, and it ends with a shocking product. I bet you follow along in the Bible, you know exactly what I'm going to say next. What's the shocking product? All men did marvel. Wow. This guy was naked. He cut his flesh all the time with stones. Nobody could bind him up, and all men did marvel. We need, church, the shocking product back from what comes from people spreading the fire of the gospel around the community. People won't follow an ice truck, but they'll follow a fire truck. You listening? Yeah. That's the shocking product. All men did marvel. Somebody said, witnessing is one beggar telling another beggar where to find the food. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar, I know where my food came from. It came from Jesus. Will you just be one beggar telling another beggar where to go get the food? And if you want to start, I don't care. Jesus said, compel them that my house may be filled. Go into the highways and hedges and compel them that my house may be full. If that's in the Bible, say amen. And if you don't got much to say and you want to start here, do this. Hey, brothers, hey,
I don't know, but here's this here. And I know where I get some food on Sunday and Sunday night. And I want to tell you, God's been good to me. I tell you where to go get some food. Come to Bemis Road Baptist Church. You can get some Jesus there. You can hear him from the Word of God. Are you getting me? Now, that's pretty elementary and that's pretty low down. You can get a little bit better than that. But if you've got to start right there, it's better than nothing. You've got to begin. You notice that in verse 19? See that word begin? Begin. He began to publish in Decapolis. You got to start somewhere. Amen. And you've got to reach. Brother Strom's got to reach that. Brother Hinkle. Brother Strom ain't getting on the base, but Brother Hinkle's on the base. So he's got to reach on the base, just like Grant's got to reach on the base. He's got a sphere of influence. Brother Buddy's got a different reach. Peter and Michael got a different reach. Hey, we got to reach over here in Tifton. Miss Lynn, she's in Tifton all week long. She's got a different reach that I can never reach. And we've all got a different reach, but we got to realize that God gave us that reach, but we've got to begin with our friends in that reach. Begin with our family in that sphere of influence. And when we start, I believe I'll test God and prove God when we start. I think we'll end with that shocking product. All men did marvel. Wow. I didn't know there was any Christians anymore that were excited about Jesus. I didn't know there... Yeah. When's the last time anybody came up to you and gave you a gospel tract? Uh-huh. Can you think? I don't know when the last time nobody's knocked on my door on Moore Road and invited me to church. Think about it. When's the last time anybody came up to you in Walmart? It might have been Marvin Collins. Like, seriously. A shocking product is all mental marvel at the dedication and love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we got saved, we got a responsibility to go and publish what great things the Lord had done for us. Somebody said, we need to live like we were saved yesterday, like Jesus died for our sins today, and like Jesus is coming back in the morning. We need to have that fervor back. Like this man that just got saved, man, he went home and told everybody how great things God had done for him. How about your reach? God's given you a reach. He's given you a responsibility. I need help with my reach. I need help with my responsibility. May the Lord give us grace. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As you stand.